This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's reading of Yankee Magazine. You'll hear stories about the people and places that make New England special: mountains, farmland, salty sea coasts, history, sports teams, universities, cultural attractions, food, and more. This is Charlene, and I'll be reading from the May-June issue of Yankee Magazine. And thank you for joining me. And a thank you to Naomi for reading episodes 1 and 2. Along with the Yankee Magazine, I'll also be reading some articles from Down East, if there's time, another great resource for fun and facts of New England. And since this is the Yankee Travel Guide to New England issue, I will be continuing with dining in the best of Rhode Island. If you're looking for burgers, there's There Providence. There's no ego involved with a dream burger, which stars two stacked smash patties with USA cheese on a sesame seed studded bun, edged with patty sauce and onion jam. But the Oklahoma is all about showing off with a crown of grilled onions, sweet mustard, and pickles. For more information and more about their menu, go to therepvd.com. If you're just looking for a coffee shop, there's Coastal Roasters in Tiverton. While many coffee shops obsess over creating the latest viral latte in quirky Wi-Fi passwords, Coastal Roasters sticks to its beans. For more information, coastalroasterscoffee.square.site. And if you're looking for something a little more spicy, there's Craft Cidery, Soham's Cider Works Company in Warren. Owner Spencer Morris cultivates 40 heirloom European and traditional apple varieties at Tusitz Long Lane Orchard for his handcrafted ciders fermented at his tasting room location. For more information, it's soamciderworks.com. And there's a French bistro in Newport called Audette's. Take a trip to Paris in Newport at the new French-inspired bistro Audette, located alongside the Bouchard Inn. In warmer months, opt for a casual seat on the patio in the charming seasonal side area between Audette and Thames Street Kitchen, called Sarah's Bar, or go more formal in the white tablecloth dining room. More information at odettesnewport.com. Leisurely lunch at the Carriage House at the Elms in Newport. Live like they did in the Gilded Age with a lavish lunch at the newly restored Carriage House at the Elms. The Preservation Society of Newport County teamed up with Kirby Perkins Construction to transform the gorgeous historic building into a restaurant and cafe overlooking the Elms' sprawling gardens and gurgling fountains. For more information, go to newportmansions.org. In a new restaurant in Providence, Claudine. How fitting that this 2026 James Beard Award semifinalist for Best New Restaurant is right across the street from the Providence Performing Arts Center, since getting a dinner reservation here is akin to snagging a backstage pass to an exclusive show. More information at claudinepvd.com. And for pizza, Twins Pizza in North Providence. Thick Sicilian-style square pizza at Twins is well done in more ways than one. Rhode Island natives have been singing the iconic family restaurant's praises since it was opened more than six decades ago by the same family that runs it today. Go to twinspizzari.com. And restaurant with a view, Coast Guard House in Narragansett. Built in the late 19th century as a station for the United States Life-Saving Service, today's U.S. Coast Guard, this impressive granite edifice, designed by the architectural icons McKim, Mead, and White, stands strong against the sometimes tumultuous but mostly gentle surf along Narragansett Beach. Go to thecoastguardhouse.com for more information. and seafood restaurant, the Dune Brothers of Providence, the beloved outdoor seafood shack finally has a full restaurant location with a roof over its head. With naturally inspired interior design to match its Rhode Island-sourced seafood theme, the indoor spot with an outdoor patio has all the familiar shack favorites like fish and chips, lobster rolls, clam cakes, and chowder, as well as elevated options like brown butter toasted skate with capers and a complete raw bar with oysters, clams, crab claws, and crudo. More information at dunebrothers.com. And a new hotel for lodging, the Gardner House in Newport. This 21-room waterfront hotel in downtown Newport comes equipped with plush rooms and its own top-level restaurant, Flora. For more information, go to thegardnerhouse.com. And there's also pet-friendly hotels in Providence, the Beatrice. It has a pampered pup package through which man's best friend scores perks like a doggy bed and bowl in the room and a pet treat from a local bakery. Leashed four-legged friends are welcome in public areas, and the hotel's just a quick jaunt from Grant's Block Dog Park. So go to thebeatrice.com for more information. And a reading retreat can be found at the Brenton Hotel in Newport. And it's probably the only hotel with a resident booktender on staff who handpicks a list of good reads each season available for lending in the lobby. For more information, go to thebrentonhotel.com. And if you're looking for romance, the Cliffside Inn in Newport was once a private residence, but each of its 16 rooms have been converted into jewel-toned private hideaways with their own distinctive personalities. And for more information, go to larkshotels.com. And a solo travel escape, Alan White Private Weekend Retreat in Bristol. Take a digital vacation and let Alan White do all the planning for once. The spa owner and beloved wellness expert will plan every bit of a two-night, three-day escape customized by a phone call that includes lodging in White's private residence or in a nearby Airbnb, most meals, and personalized itineraries for every personality. So go to alanwhite.com for more information. And the next article is Untamed and Unforgettable. On Maine's Bold Coast Trail, nature's wild beauty leads the way. It was a small lighthouse that eventually guided me back, jutting out into Cutler Harbor, a stubby green and white tower that served as a reminder it was time to turn for home. For hours, I'd been moseying through a patchwork of woods and meadows, edging close to dazzling rock-walled cliffs and losing myself in the endless expanse of a soft blue Atlantic. It had been a good long while since I'd even seen another hiker, and except for the occasional fishing boat in the far distance, I seemed to have had the entire Gulf of Maine to myself. Washington County, the easternmost county in the U.S., can fool you like that. Up and up you go, way past Portland, past Bar Harbor, through undiscovered little towns with million-dollar views, before landing just south of the Canadian border. Here, amid all the woods and water, the crowds seem far away. But it's the area's Bold Coast Trail, a pristine and at times solitary trek along rugged ocean cliffs and through forests of spruce and fir, that offers a walk you may never forget. The trail is some three decades old, and when you find it, you feel as though it's your own secret. After decades of private ownership and logging, this 2,200-acre swath of coastal land came under state control in 1989. 5 years later, a small band of builders cleared forest paths, laid out stone steps that gave access to lookout points, and built campsites above the rocky beach. When they were ready, National Guard helicoptered cedar planks for walkways through the bogs. Today, Cutler Coast Public Reserved land encompasses over 12,000 acres, and its trail network is laid out like a figure eight. The full loop covers almost 10 miles, while the shorter version is about half that. If you've got the stamina, the longer one is a worthy goal. For roughly 3.5 miles, you follow the coast, soaring above the water in places, finding your footing along the bony beachscape in others. Stopping points abound, from the clusters of pink sea roses, lupins, and other wildflowers dotting the land, to the pathways that lead visitors to the edge of the earth. Below, waves crash onto the shore. To the right and the left, slabs of giant rock rise hundreds of feet. A visit here is a commitment, not just of time, but of mindset. The Bull Coast's beauty lies in its lack of polish. It's raw and untamed. Nature, as it's found here, hasn't been reduced to some pretty painting for visitors to come and gaze at. Instead, it encourages interaction, to work up a sweat, to get a little muddy, to dangle your feet atop a bluff. It's a bold idea indeed, but if you can slow down enough to do it, you just might discover that there are still some places where you can truly get away. And that is by Ian Aldrich. And off the beaten path, 4 more Maine hiking destinations that offer memorable escapes. Dabuli Public Land. Heed the call of the backcountry in northernmost Maine, where a 30-mile trail network winds past crystalline ponds and low-slung mountains amid nearly 22,000 forested acres. Remote campsites are scattered throughout, allowing for multi-day exploring. Namankata Public Land, spanning 43,000 acres in the heart of the 100-mile wilderness, one of the last great tracts of uninterrupted forests in the Northeast. This backpacker's paradise includes a stretch of the fabled Appalachian Trail and one of New England's highest waterfalls. Monhegan Island. Located 10 miles out to sea, Monhegan is beloved by artists for its tranquility and quality of light, but it's not a manicured retreat. More than half of the island is made up of wildlands, where steep and rocky trails lead to stunning clifftop vistas. And Bald Mountain. Head to the rural town of Weld for a short but demanding 1 mile ascent that punches well above its weight. Bald's namesake trail climbs through a dense forest of fir and hardwoods before a final scramble across granite slabs reveals a bare summit with 360-degree views deep into western Maine. And now we'll return to a little bit more of a civilization where you don't have to be climbing mountains for the best of Maine. An agritourism stop. Niesenkot Farm Store in Turner. Homesteading and sustainable living are the focus of Niesenkot, Maine's oldest organic dairy farm. The Varney family makes it easy to learn about and practice both. Go for breakfast, lunch, or a pick-me-up. And you can find more information at niesenkotfarm.com. And Food Festival. Maine Whoopie Pie Festival, Dover Foxcroft. Whoop it up with whoopie pies, a scrumptious sweet made by sandwiching a creamy filling between two cakey cookies. The annual one-day festival held in June on the Piscataquis Valley Fairgrounds invites you to taste, experience, and discover Maine's official sweet treat. Go to MaineWhoopiePieFestival.com for more information. And Made in Maine concert series by L.L. Bean in Freeport is a free summer event. In July and August, enjoy free outdoor Saturday evening concerts featuring Maine musicians at Discovery Park on L.L. Bean's Freeport campus. You're welcome to set up a chair or blanket beginning at 4 p.m., but the music doesn't start until 7. So for more information, go to llbean.com. And an indie music store, Vinyl Vogue in Ellsworth. Matt Manry has created an indie music store with a heart inside the Newbury Exchange on Main Street, a space shared with Trio Gift Shop and Black Moon Public House. That makes it easy to sip a cocktail as you browse rare and collectible records and cassettes, or to admire premium guitars and lust after restored vintage audio gear with friends. Go to vintagevinyl.com for more information. And Mountain Day Trip, Mount Agamenticus in York. Drive, hike, or bike to the 692-foot summit of the Big A, as it is locally known, and enjoy panoramic views taking in the Atlantic coastline, one of the largest undeveloped forest lands along New England's coast, inland lakes, and the White Mountains. For more information, go to agamenicus.org. Museum Shop, Sabbath Day Lake Shaker Village in New Gloucester. Three residents remain in the world's last practicing Shaker community, and visiting here immerses you in a slower, simpler time. The property's two shops reflect the Shakers' hands to work, hearts to God motto. The Visitor Center Gift Shop, located in the 1850s Boys Shop, offers a glimpse into Shaker life with books, goods, culinary herbs, medicinal teas, and locally produced crafts. The Shaker Store, on the main road, displays antique Shaker goods and offers herbs, teas, yarns, and crafts. Go to mainshakers.com/museum or mainshakers.com/shop. A new cultural attraction, Maine Mill in Lewiston. A grand museum deserves a grand home. In this summer, Maine M. Mill, full name, the Maine Museum of Innovation, Learning, and Labor, will officially reopen at the former downtown home of Camden Yarns following an ambitious $14 million renovation. For more information, go to mainemill.org. In a quirky attraction, Umbrella Cover Museum in Peaks Island. When Nancy Three Hoffman, yes, her middle name is Three, discovered she had a handful of umbrella covers that she didn't know what to do with, she opened a museum dedicated to the appreciation of the mundane in everyday life. But this place is anything but mundane. Hoffman's collection earned a Guinness World Record in 2012 with 730 covers, and now its numbers more than 2,000 and represents more than 70 countries. Hoffman guides visitors through the exhibits, and usually she ends the tour singing and playing "Let a Smile Be Your Umbrella" on her accordion. And more information can be found at umbrellascoveringmuseum.org. In the Specialty Museum, Seashore Trolley Museum in Kennebunkport. Explore 11 buildings filled with exhibits and trolley cars on the 350-acre campus of the world's oldest and largest electric railway museum. While here, ride a restored trolley along an original section of the Atlantic Shoreline Railway as often as you wish. Watch volunteers at work repairing cars in the restoration shop. And don't miss Helen and Buzz Beale's intricately detailed Maine Central Model Railroad, which comprises 300 buildings and 500 cars in recognizable Maine locations. Tip: reserve in advance for the 90-minute Be a Motorman program, during which you'll operate a vintage streetcar on the museum's line. And more info can be found at trolleymuseum.org. Or for some summer stock, go to Ogunquit Playhouse in Ogunquit. Since the 1930s, this summer stock theater has presented fully staged professional musical and comedies, including premieres. It started in a downtown Ogunquit garage and later moved into the current purposeful-built playhouse. A who's who of Broadway veterans and Hollywood pros, such as Betty Davis, William Shatner, Jamie Farr, Betty White, and Sally Struthers, who usually appears in at least one show each season, have brightened the stage in a blend of new and familiar shows. For more information, go to AgunquitPlayhouse.org. And for afternoon tea, the Lady Mary Inn at Heard Manor, North Berwick. This handsome, antiques-filled Queen Anne, Eastlake Victorian, with its ornate woodwork, architectural embellishments, and stained glass windows, makes a fine background for afternoon tea. Go to theladymaryinn.com for more information. And if you'd rather have a bistro in Issa in Portland, Seasonal Ingredients Drive Chef Izal Perez menu at Issa, a cozy spot off Portland's well-beaten restaurant trail. Locals know this unpretentious neighborhood bistro is all about food. Perez's eclectic menu draws from his Mexican heritage, experience cooking, French and Italian fare while in New York, and Maine ingredients. So go to IssaPortlandME.com to find out more information. And a bread bakery, Zoo Bakery in Portland. And if you go in there, Barack Olin's Micro Boulangerie awakens the senses. Enticing aromas of textured rustic breads and French pastries and warmth from the oven fill the air. So go to Zoo Bakery at zubakery.com for more information and their menu. And a good breakfast spot is the Buttermilk Kitchen at Mariners in Camden. Hey, y'all, whether you're a lover of chicken and pimento cheese grits, a fan of buttermilk pancakes, or a plain and simple type who prefers good old bacon and eggs, this cheerful Main Street spot, dressed in nautical blue and white and sporting a menu with a southern accent, has you covered. But don't even think about leaving without trying the oversized buttermilk drop biscuit, ideally slathered with butter and topped with a generous smear of Buttermilk Kitchen's signature red pepper jelly. Be prepared to order another to-go, perhaps with an espresso. And more info at buttermilkcamden.com. If you're looking for a burger, there's Quiet Side Snacks and Bernard. After hiking on Acadia National Park's western side, detour to Bernard and refuel at this Airstream camper-turned-burger shack prized by locals. More information at quietsidesnacks.com. And coffee shop, the Gemini Cafe and Bakery in Bethel, Anna Sisko and Nicole Pellerin chose the name Gemini for their cozy in-town cafe located in a former bank because they work together like the fabled twin constellation, and it has become a bright star in this western mountain town. Locals linger over coffee drinks and sweet and savory baked goods, including flaky croissants, crunchy chewy bagels, and pastry worthy of a British baking show. Go to thegeminicafe.com for their menu and more info. And for some comfort food, you can try the Salted Butter Farm in Sherman. Step inside this pinkish-purple gingerbread-trimmed 1890 Victorian for affordable, family-friendly, scratch-made comfort meals made from locally sourced, farm-fresh ingredients. Culinary Institute of America grad Jenny MacArthur and her husband, John Purdy, along with their family, dish out generous portions from a wide-ranging menu that offers vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free choices. The eclectic decor includes Tiffany chandeliers, mismatched vintage china, and furniture and bric-a-brac. Service is friendly, and little ones are welcome. One dining room offers toys and an under-the-stairs hideaway. Go to saltedbutterfarm.com for more info. And Ricker Hill Tasting Room in Turner offers some crafty cideries. For nine generations, the Ricker family has grown apples on Ricker Hill. These days, they're all about the Maniac Hard Cider produced in the original cidery, where 18 taps pour classic, limited edition, and seasonal ciders. Go to richtershardcider.com for more information. And for some ice cream, Blanchard's Creamery in Edgecombe It's hard to decide which creative flavor, pralines and cream, snickerdoodle, matcha green tea, to order at this handsomely renovated 1800s barn. Mary Blanchard's staff makes 60-plus flavors of slow-churned, small-batch ice cream, sorbet, and dairy-free items, along with espresso drinks and baked goods. Ask for a tasting, and if you still cannot decide, combine a few flavors in one dish or cone, or go for a tasting sampler. They even offer pup cups for your furry friend. You'll find tables indoors and out at blanchardscreamery.com. And Dry Dock in Portland, for their seafood restaurant, long an institution on Portland's waterfront, the Dry Dock was reopened by new owners in 2025 with an updated but still nautical vibe. While choices exist for landlubbers, including a drool-worthy burger, seafood rules here. So go to drydockportland.com to find out more information on their menu and opening times. And LL Frijoles Sargentville, for a taste of Mexicali, Maine, pop into this casual takeout-style taqueria barn with seating available at a picnic table on the lawn, by the fire pit, under the trees, and on a screened-in porch. It's easy to stick to the favorites, but do ask what special Chef Michel Levesque is cooking in the kitchen. Go to llfrijoles.com for more information. And the name? That's Spanish for LL Beans. So, lodging for affordable overnight, the Black Elephant Hostel in Portland. A dizzying array of patterns and colors welcomes you to this contemporary hostel, an easy walk from the city's old port and waterfront. Prepare meals in the communal kitchen, play games, watch TV, or hang out by the fireplace in the lobby. You can find out more information at blackelephanthostel.com. Or go for an all-inclusive getaway at Meiji's Lodge on Sebago Lake, South Casco. Weaving through mature pines, paths cushioned with pine needles connect the main lodge to the beach-scalloped shoreline and guest cabins at Meiji's, a 125-acre resort on Sebago Lake. Meiji's makes vacationing easy. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner are included, as are most activities and child care. So go to Meiji's.com for more information. If you're looking for luxury overnight, there's shoreside rooms at the Viewpoint Hotel in York. The Atlantic Ocean dazzles outside the shoreside rooms at the Viewpoint, the hotel with spectacular views of Nubble Light, a.k.a. Cape Natick Light Station. These 7 guest rooms are built into the hillside on 2 levels. So go to viewpointhotel.com/shoreside-rooms. And more ocean view at the Bayview Hotel in Bar Harbor. Don your robe and slippers, brew a cup of coffee, and greet the day on your private balcony overlooking and across the Frenchman Bay toward the mainland mountains and the Shudik Peninsula. A hot and cold breakfast buffet, an afternoon grazing board with cheeses, charcuterie, fruit, baked sweets, and other treats are presented in the fireplace lounge with its own sea view balcony. And go to thebayviewharbor.com for more information. Or if you'd rather go off the grid, go to West Branch Pond Camps in Frenchtown Township. You won't have a cell phone signal, internet, or TV at this traditional, all-inclusive Maine sporting camp comprising cabins and Maine Lodge on remote First West Branch Pond. Instead, you'll experience peace and quiet, enjoy home-cooked meals, have use of canoes and kayaks, and immerse yourself in an edge of civilization location northeast of Greenville in Maine's 100-mile wilderness. Go to westbranchpondcamps.com for more information. And one-of-a-kind rentals with West Quoddy Station Lubbock. when Bill Clark acquired this decommissioned U.S. Coast Guard life-saving station, many of the buildings were condemned. Over the years, he's rescued, renovated, and built new buildings on the five-acre property, designing and decorating all in 1950s style to honor the station's maritime heritage. The location is an easy one-mile walk from West Quoddy Head Lighthouse or Sandy Jones Beach, and many of the accommodations provide views over the Quoddy Narrows. Lodging options range from studios to a five-bedroom house. All are dog-friendly. Guests have use of water view decks and a fire pit. So go to QuoddyVacation.com. A romantic inn is the Wolf Cove Inn in Poland. Relax and indulge at this secluded dog-friendly inn fronting on Trip Lake in the foothills of Maine's Western Mountains. And for more information about them, you can go to wolfcoveinn.com. If you're traveling solo, the Windjammer Louis R. French out of Camden, sailing aboard a Maine Windjammer, delivers an adventure. And the 20-passenger Louis R. French, with four single cabins and no single supplements, is an excellent choice for solo travelers. You'll easily meet others aboard the stately 1871 schooner over three hearty daily meals, all served family style, enduring activities. You're invited to help trim the sails, haul the anchor, coil lines, or do nothing but enjoy what each day brings. Islands and fishing villages to explore, birds and sea life to spot, and the crowd-pleasing lobster bake, usually on a deserted beach. And at night, the best stargazing ever. That's the schoonerfrench.com, and I can attest that taking a Windjammer cruise is really a lot of fun. And for sunset views, the quarters at Lyman Morris in Camden. The sunset views over Camden's inner harbor, downtown, and the rolling countryside are just one reason to stay at the quarters at Lyman Morris, crafted by one of Maine's premier boat builders. Three guest rooms all decorated in a bright and airy industrial chic style with a nautical motif. Share a common living area with a fireplace and full kitchen. For more information, go to LymanMorseCrewQuarters.com. And last but not least, we have Best of Connecticut. So for attractions, for the agritourism stops, we have Whitegate Farm in East Lyme. Bordered by approximately 1 mile of weathered stone walls and populated with whitewashed farm buildings and animal-friendly enclosures, this 100-acre working farm provides a glimpse of organic farming in an up-close and friendly environment. You can go to whitegatefarm.net to find out more information. In a free summer event, the International Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven. From May through June, the Elm City hosts an extraordinarily diverse and lively arts and culture festival that features all sorts of performances, talks, films, and tours taking place throughout the metropolis. Numerous musical acts from around the world perform on the New Haven Green throughout the festival, while plays, poetry readings, author appearances, art displays, and film screening are staged at smaller venues. Go to artidea.org for more information. And a fun spot for grown-ups, Lime Rock Park, Lakeville. Attention motorheads, there's year-round fun to be had at this 1.5-mile serpentine racetrack nestled in the gently rolling hills of northwest Connecticut. Opened in 1957, it is among the nation's oldest continuously operating road racing venues. Connecticut's own Paul Newman indulged his passion for speed and competition here for many years. So, you can go to limerock.com for more information. And indie music stores, Red Scroll Records in Wallingford. If you're a fan of vinyl records, this place is your little slice of stereophonic heaven. Red Squirrel Records resides in a high-ceilinged warehouse that has row after row of tables covered with black plastic milk crates, each crammed full of albums both used and new. Nearly all musical genres are represented, with a special emphasis on underground music. Go to redsquirrelrecords.com for more information. And for museum shopping, Nature's Art Village in Oakdale. Dinosaur lovers, young and old, love this place, and its adjacent museum shop is custom made for paleontologists of all ages and levels of interest. After taking in the 60-acre family fun park with its life-size dinosaur sculptures, enter the 6-store annex and head to the ancient fossil shop. Naturesartvillage.com will give you more information. And for a rail trail, Farmington River Trail, Farmington area. The Farmington River, west of Hartford, winds its way through some of central Connecticut's prettiest cities and towns, and the best way to enjoy the region is to take a bike ride or a walk on the approximately 18-mile Farmington River Trail. The mostly paved pathway connects four towns from Farmington to Simsbury and parallels the river over most of its course. For more information, go to fchtrail.org. And if you're hungry for some dining, the breakfast spot to go to is Popover Eatery in Simsbury and Mystic. Popover pastries do indeed top the menu at these two cheery breakfast and lunch spots, one in an upscale Simsbury strip mall and the other in downtown Mystic. Four overstuffed versions like protein pop, eggs, turkey, sausage, bacon, mushrooms, and onions, and the cornered beef fave, Irish pop, ensure that you won't need to order seconds. In addition, there are breakfast sandwiches and plates, pancakes, waffles, and healthy granola-based bowls. Go to popovereatery.com for more information on their menus. And for burgers, go to Liv's Oyster Bar, Old Saybrook. Who would have thought that one of the top burgers in the state would be found in a shoreline oyster bar? But Liv's has been surprising carnivores for more than 10 years with its 8-ounce Wagyu burger with bacon and farmhouse cheddar or blue cheese served on a brioche bun and accompanied by Old Bay French fries, coleslaw, and pickles. If you've got room, the oyster sampler plate plays a delicious accompanying role. So go to livsoysterbar.com for more info. And Two Wrestling Cats Accord in East Haddam is a colorful cafe and feline-themed lounge in wooded East Haddam, provides respite for visitors to nearby Gillette Castle. Two Wrestling Cats is the creation of a retired molecular biologist who wanted to invent a space for peace, acceptance, tolerance, reflection, good coffee, and good vibes. And boy, does it deliver. So check them out on Facebook and plan a trip there. In Longview Cider House in Southington, sipping finely crafted hard ciders and sitting around a fire pit while watching the sunset is a superb way to pass time at this central Connecticut farm and cidery. This historic property, the farm dates back to the early 1800s, makes hard ciders and sells them from their seasonal mountaintop cider truck and orchard bar. Go to longviewcider.com for more information. And for a diner, go to Laurel Diner in Southbury. Just a bit off the main drag in Southbury, you'll find this modest, whitewashed eatery with a dozen or so counter stools and a handful of tables, serving breakfasts and lunches that have drawn nationwide praise. Owners Peter and Stephanie Homick took over the diner in 1997, and over the past three decades, it's been a true team effort. Stephanie runs the front of the house while Peter mans the griddle. So go to thelaureldiner.com for more information. If you're looking for some donuts, there's Flanders Donut and Bake Shop in East Lyme. When Brooklynites Andy and Ingrid Terracciano founded the bakery in 1972 in tiny East Lyme, they didn't know what to expect. But 5 decades on, this family-owned shop continues to delight. More than 35 different donuts anchor the menu, from a traditional powdered sugar to the loaded chocolate-covered buttercream. So go to FlandersBakery.com to find out more about their delicious donuts. And for Italian, go to Geppetto's in Torrington. The lure of a more friendly life brought Carlo and Michelle Pulizzi from New York City to Torrington, where they opened an old world themed Italian restaurant in the heart of the city's downtown a few years ago. Geppetto is modeled on their previous restaurant in Brooklyn and features a rustic dining room, exposed brick walls lined with Italian wine bottles, a lengthy bar, and an elevated back area for larger groups. Go to GeppettoCT.com for more information. And for New American, Washington Prime, and South Norwalk, get your modern American food fix at this fine dining mecca, known primarily for its aged steaks and eclectic offerings of seafood, pasta, and small plates. Come hungry, start with some locally harvested Copps Island oysters on the half shell, then share plates of thick slab bacon, hot honey calamari, and fig and prosciutto crostini before moving on to Prime's famous steaks. Go to WashingtonPrimeCT.com for more information. And if you're looking for pizza, Modern A Pizza New Haven is the place to go. New Haven Pizza has been getting a lot of attention lately, due primarily to the city's unique style of charred crust brick oven a pizza and its big three major purveyors, Frank Pepe's, Sally's, and Modern. Of the three, Modern is the only one that's still a one-shop mom-and-pop operation, and pizza aficionados are taking notice. So look them up at modernapizza.com. Or Restaurant with a View, Cafe Flow in Olime, is this seasonal lunch spot offers farm-fresh food and drink, as well as inspiring views of a legendary stretch of the Lieutenant River behind Old Lyme's Florence Griswold Museum. Tables are strung along the museum's back veranda, overlooking a landscape that was painted hundreds of times by many of the finest early 20th century American Impressionist painters. Go to FlorenceGriswoldMuseum.org for more information. In sustainable seafood, Mystic Fish Camp in Mystic. This new dine-in-the-rough seafood spot in downtown Mystic just might be the future of seafood dining in New England. The brainchild of David and Kathleen Standridge, the forces behind the award-winning Shipwright's Daughter restaurant, Mystic Fish Camp, shines a light on underutilized species such as scup, dogfish, and pollock, which are served at a fraction of the cost of haddock and cod. Go to mysticfishcamp.com to find out more about their menu and prices. And if you wanted to stay over for some lodging, you can go glamping at Wild Ride in Sterling. In far eastern Connecticut, there's a wild Mustang sanctuary where you can actually camp in style at one of 4 glamping sites on a 150-acre wooded preserve. While the Wild Ride Mustang Sanctuary's primary mission is to train formerly wild horses, guests may interact with the animals as they roam around the grounds. There are 3 fully furnished glamping geodomes that sleep 3 to 5 guests, plus a large geodome that can host as many as 20. Go to wildridect.org for more information. Or for luxury overnight, you can go to Belden House in Mews in Litchfield. The lovely old mansion located just off Litchfield's Main Street has been transformed into a high-end inn and spa of sterling quality. Belden House in Mews has spared no expense in creating a one-of-a-kind regal escape for city-weary travelers seeking some quiet time away. You can go to beldenhouse.com for more information. And the Del Mar Mystic stands proudly on the banks of the Mystic River. It was once a twin-gabled hotel, one of the latest in the Del Mar Hotel collection, and it takes full advantage of its waterfront location. Each room and public space has gorgeous views of the river as it flows by on its way to Long Island Sound. There's also a heated indoor pool perched between the hotel's terrace and boat dock. Go to delmar.com for more information. And one-of-a-kind rental. CT Pizza Palace in New Haven, the Elm City, has gone pizza crazy in the past couple of years, hosting the world's largest pizza party and staging a David versus Goliath public relations dust-up with neighboring New York City. For visitors who are looking to get the full New Haven a pizza experience, consider staying a night or two at this nostalgic Airbnb that is outfitted with vinyl booths, a jukebox, wall-mounted pizza menus, and other pizza-themed decor. Even better, it's just steps from the famed Modern A Pizza and an easy walk to legendary Worcester Square, home to Sally's and Frank's Pepe's Pizzerias. Go to Airbnb.com to check it out. And for a solo travel escape, you can go to the Spa at Norwich Inn in Norwich. This renowned inn and spa, located in the quiet recesses of eastern Connecticut, offers plenty for solo travelers who wish to unwind in privacy or engage in group activities with fellow lodgers. The spa features an array of options from massages and facials to saunas and yoga classes. Go to the spa at NorwichInn.com for more information. And for the final offering for Yankees Travel Guide to New England, we'll do Pop Stars. You may know Moxie, but don't miss a chance to sip these other New England crafted sodas too. By Courtney Hollins. Vermont Sweetwater, Pulteney, Vermont. Since 1993, Vermont Sweetwater co-owners Bob and Rich Munch have taste-tested every flavor around the kitchen table with friends and family, growing their line from one offering, maple seltzer, to 11. And while the company is a relatively new kid on the carbonated block, the brothers embrace tradition, producing their sodas on a restored 1940 crown cork and sealed Dixie bottler. You can check them out at from vtsweetwater.com. Superlative Sip, a full ounce of maple syrup goes into every 12-ounce bottle of maple soda, making for a caramely, slightly woodsy quaff that's nice over ice. Harmony Springs in Ludlow, Mass. The founders of this circa 1908 soda company moved operations from Northampton to Ludlow in 1948 for a very specific reason. More than 400 feet below the Yale Street factory is a spring-fed aquifer that supplies all the chilled water for Harmony Springs' 20-plus pop varieties, which range from the expected cola, ginger ale, lemon lime, to the surprising peach, pineapple, grape. DrinkHarmonySprings.com. Superlative Sip. Boasting herbal notes and anise on the nose, a Harmony Springs sarsaparilla is root beer's more sophisticated cousin. 3. Avery's of New Britain, Connecticut. When Patrick Moore was a kid, his dad used to pick up Avery's Birch Beer on his commute home from work in New Britain. Moore grew up to launch Simsbury's Hilltop Apiaries in a collaboration with Avery's on a honey-sweetened flavor 5 years ago, led to a full-circle moment. Last summer, he took over the 122-year-old soda producer from retiring owner Bob Metz. It's more than just a soda, Moore says. It's nostalgia. And that's drinkavery's.com. Superlative Sip. With a round, almost buttery flavor, Avery's popular cream soda cries out for an ice cream float. 4. Yacht Club, North Providence, Rhode Island. Yacht Club is so Rhode Island. Not only has the same family run the company in North Providence for three generations, but each flavor shows pride of place with labels featuring Ocean State scenes painted by local artist Mike Bryce, Rose Island for blue raspberry, for example, or Warwick Neck for orange. But you don't have to be local to enjoy Yacht Club. Expats can score 12 packs online. And that's at yachtclubsoda.com. And a superlative sip, reminiscent of Cherry Coke, the subtly sweet Rhodey Red, decked out with a Musquamicut State Beach label, goes down smooth. And number 5, Cap'n Eli's, Portland, Maine. In the mid-1990s, Fred Forsley pulled the first pints of root beer made from his dad Eli's recipe at his restaurant, Federal Jack's in Kennebunk. Fred also started Shipyard Brewing Company. It soon hit the drinks menu at other Maine bars and restaurants, and today, Cap'n Eli's 7 flavors, including that classic root beer, can also be found at grocery stores around New England and beyond. And that's CaptainEli'sSoda.com. Superlative sip, a fizzy tribute to Vacationland state fruit, the blueberry pop gives off table talk pie vibes. And the last article, Blossom Season in the Crown of Maine. A patchwork of blooms sweeps over Maine's Aroostook County. From spring's first luminous sprouts to fall's last ruddy leaves, Aroostook County is a showcase of lush pastoral scenes. Croplands, meadows, and forests all embrace the brightness and warmth of blossom season, with exuberance painting the crown of Maine with floral splendor. The landscape's post-winter cheeriness is contagious among visitors and residents alike. In early summer, when lupins stipple the roadside with pastel pinks, purples, and blues, descendants of 19th-century Swedish immigrants toast the summer solstice at New Sweden's Midsummer Festival, June 19th to the 21st. Fiddlers and accordionists play as dancers wearing wildflower crowns and folk costumes skip around a maypole adorned in lupins, daisies, buttercups, and peonies. In July, when the lupins are fading, the farmlands around Presque Isle, Fort Fairfield, and Caribou unfurl thousands of acres of fragrant ivory, pink, and purple potato blossoms. This, too, is cause for merrymaking, and Fort Fairfield goes all out. The Maine Potato Blossom Festival, July 11th to the 19th, is a grand celebration of Aroostook County's primary crop and its hundreds of family farms. Decorated potato-themed floats roll through downtown to kick off a jam-packed week of outdoor concerts, sports tournaments, cook-offs, and not-too-serious contests of strength and skill. Think wrestling matches in mashed potatoes. At July's end, electric yellow rapeseed blooms carpet the canola fields around Mapleton and Patton. Families climb to the open summit of 1,142-foot Haystack Mountain in Castle Hill to gaze out on a sea of wispy, long-stalked golden flowers rippling in the breeze. The sunflower capital of Aroostook County is the town of Mars Hill, where the jaunty, towering flowers are in bloom throughout August and early September. Yost Farms, a producer of organic sunflower oil, cultivates a multi-flowering variety on the east side of Mars Hill Mountain, visible from Mountain Road. Find more sunnies at Sconnet's Farm and LaJoy Growers in Van Buren and at Gowen's Farm in Caribou, where you can cut your own. By mid-September, the St. John Valley farmers have harvested the buckwheat they grow for flour, a staple for local Acadian families who use it to make skillet flatbreads called ploys and an ingredient for nationally distributed snacks. The buckwheat stalks, meanwhile, have turned a blazing crimson that complements the spectacular fall colors, Maine's earliest, sweeping over lake-dotted forests traversed by St. John Valley, /Fish River National Scenic Byway and to the southeast, the Million Dollar View Scenic Byway, Route 1. In Maine's Aroostook County, blossom season is as joyously unrestrained as ever. Come, take a twirl in fields of blooms. This reading of Yankee Magazine has been a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Charlene, and thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. When I say the word blackbird, what sort of bird do you picture? Maybe the familiar red-winged blackbird that sings in the marsh? Well, not all blackbirds are mostly black. One is orange and even has an aristocratic name, the Baltimore Oriole. This gorgeous golden orange and black bird took its name from Sir George Calvert, 1st Lord Baltimore. His coat of arms carried a gold and black design. Baltimore Orioles eat insects and fruit, but they're fussy. They go mostly for vividly colored fruit. For nesting material, on the other hand, bland is better. The female, who does all the architectural work, bypasses colorful threads and fibers and instead chooses dull colors. She's a much drabber orange and blends in with the background while incubating her eggs. In spring and summer, you may see these orioles in the Midwest and eastern U.S., lighting up the leafy trees where they nest. You can cater to the particular taste of these beautiful birds. If you're lucky enough to live near Baltimore Orioles, entice them to your feeder with half an orange. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
More than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
I am not just a word nerd. I nerd on many topics. The North Star, Star Wars, Star Trek, even Starbucks. But what does nerd mean? Merriam-Webster's dictionary tells us that Dr. Seuss created the word nerd in a 1950 book, If I Ran the Zoo. In it he writes, "And then just to show them I'll sail to Katru and bring back an Itkutch, a Preep, and a Prue, a Nurkle, a Nerd, and a Seersucker too." To show how English meanings morph, in 1951, Newsweek magazine reported that nerd was the cool word to use when referring to a drip, a square, a nerd, or the uncool. But today's nerds wear nerdiness with pride. Nerddom implies you possess a depth of knowledge of the unusual or arcane, the architecture of an anthill, the botany of a banana, the history of history, and why there are 12 different types of zippers. Today, a nerd is considered a bit geeky, maybe even socially awkward, but harmless and brainy. And I emphasize the brainy part because, well, no one else does.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And at the Mass Commission for the Blind, we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.
You are listening to Audio Journal, part of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Thanks for listening. We have more programming coming up next.